In this corner, standing at least 9 feet tall, a Goliath of a giant, armed to his yellow teeth with armor. Sword, spear, shield, and personal armor bearer to play human shield. He's the pride of Gath, the champion of the Philistines. Let's hear it for Goliath of Gath! In that quarter, standing maybe 5 feet six, a red-headed, ruddy shepherd boy from the boonies. Somehow, he is Israel's last-ditch hope. Let's give a sympathy clap for...
What's his name again?
David of Bethlehem! That's probably how it sounded whenever the announcement went out that it would be David versus Goliath in the original David versus Goliath match. As David ran toward the giant, he loaded the sling, spun it around, and suddenly the presence of God met him on the battlefield. Ruddy David let go of the rock, and it hurtled through the air, guided not just by his cunning, but by the hand of the Lord. It pelted the giant on his forehead, the one area that was not covered by armor, and toppled him. David ran over to the giant, unsheathed his sword, hoisted above his head, and finished him off. David was on top of the world, and he learned firsthand that when we go to battle, God will meet us there. Thank God we don't battle alone. Good day to you, Simplify listeners. You are listening to L.J. Harry, and you are listening to Even There on Simplify. From that battle, he won one battle after another, and another, and another, and another. And each time he came home from war, he heard the women singing his song. They sang, "Saul has slain his thousands." And Saul loved that song. He played that verse on repeat. But they continued, "David hath slain his tens of thousands." Saul didn't sing that verse. Israel feared David. Israel followed him. Israel loved him. The women sang about him. And he found out when he's on top of the world, God is there. God's there down on the battlefield. God's also there up on the mountaintop. So David wrote in the 139th Psalm, "If I ascend into the heights, God is there." But soon jealousy wrapped its green weeds around Saul's heart, and David felt the sudden jolt of a fast fall off the mountain the first time Saul tried to pin him to the palace wall with his javelin, and then again, and again, and again. Finally, David ran for his life away from jealous, maniacal, homicidal King Saul. Saul and his Israelite army hunted David over hill and dale. Suddenly, David, who could do no wrong, could now do no right. He hid in caves, just trying to outrun Saul and his jealousy. He even had to run out of his own house and leave his own wife just to save his own life. David left everything behind and ran for his life, but no matter where he stayed, King Saul found him and sent an army to arrest him. As long as he was in Israel, David was one step from death. It got so bad that David fled Israel and ran to Gath. Gath, Gath, that sounds familiar. Oh, that's right. Goliath was from Gath. David ran to the place where they still had wanted posters up all over just because he had killed their champion. Maybe this is the story that caused David to write, "If I take the wings of the morning and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me." David did the unthinkable. He knocked on King Achish's door. I don't think he really thought this one through. King Achish was the enemy. So then David pretended to be insane. He clawed at the door of the palace, drooled all down his beard and his robe, and everybody inside wondering, what is going on inside that guy's mind? "Get this madman out of here. We have enough already. We don't need one more." David was wanted in Israel, but not like he wanted to be wanted. And he wasn't wanted in Gath like he wanted to be wanted. Then he found himself all by himself, sitting in the deep, damp cave of Adullam. But he was not all by himself. After running from Saul and pretending to be insane, David was so low he could sit on a shekel and swing his legs. But even after losing everyone and everything, including his dignity, David squinted inside the dark cave and was pleasantly surprised to find God was even there, When you're so high up, you have to look down to see heaven. God is there. And when you're so low, you have to look up to see hell. You will find out that our God, who is forever faithful, is even there. I need every David listening who has ever felt like you've lost it all, I need you to hear me. Wherever you are, God is even there. When you're homeless, he's even there on the street or in the shelter. When you're addicted, he's even there in the trap house or on the street or in the jail or in the recovery house. When you can't make the math work to pay the bills and keep the account in the black, he's even there amidst all your receipts and statements and invoices and bounced checks and overdraft fees. You can take it from David, who wrote from the belly of the valley, "Our God, who is forever faithful, is even there." Listen to me, David. When you sit in the doctor's office and hear inoperable, terminal, not much we can do, even if there's not an empty chair for him to sit, our God is even there. You wouldn't expect to find him there, but you will. When you get the knock on the door that there's been an accident and they believe it's your family, even if it's 3 a.m, our God is awake and he is even there. When you hear that your baby has been taken to jail again, our God is even there. When your husband tells you it's over and you don't know what you're going to do, you will find out that our God, who is forever faithful even when people are not, he is even there. If you walk through hell itself and wonder if you'll live to tell about it, take in David's words, which still reek of the damp, dark cave in which he wrote, "Even if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." No matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, my word to you today is our God, who is forever faithful, is even there. I think this would be a really good time to just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you have not left us, especially when we need you most. You are good, you are kind, you are faithful. I pray, encourage somebody who's listening to this, those who are going through the difficulties, the battle of their life, I pray you would encourage them. But mostly, I pray you would let them know you are there. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your nearness. I pray, God, you would show yourself to them today and let them know beyond a doubt, through your word and through what they experience in this life, that you are even there. I thank you today, God, for your goodness and faithfulness. And together we give you praise and honor, for you are good and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this has encouraged you, especially if you're going through a tough time. If you know somebody going through a tough time right now, would you please share this episode with them? Let them know they can hear it. If they're an Android fan like me, let them know they can hear it on Google Podcasts. If they're an Apple fan like a few others, let them know they can hear it on iTunes. Or if they're somewhere in between, tell them about Spotify or Podbean. But please share this with them if you think it'll be a blessing and a help to them. Hey, speaking of being a blessing, the devotional that launched this podcast could be a blessing to you. It's a 52-week devotional I wrote a few years ago that helps us walk a little closer with Jesus. If you would like to purchase a copy of that, you can purchase that at PentecostalPublishing.com, and it's available in print. It's also available on Kindle. One more resource for you. A very dear friend of mine, Lieutenant Andy Burns, and I have a podcast called The Preacher and the Policeman. And in that podcast, we do our best to mix current events with the gospel and add a heaping helping of humor. So if you are looking for another podcast to encourage you and maybe even inform you about what's happening in current events, check out The Preacher and the Policeman. That's also available on Google, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, and hopefully you'll enjoy that podcast as much as you are this one. This is our 99th episode of Simplify. I want to thank every one of you who has been on this journey with me, whether you've been with me since the beginning or you just joined pretty recently. You're a part of a podcast and listening family that has so far produced 99 episodes. We are almost just one away from 100. And we are 49,100 downloads. I would love to be able to hit the 50,000 mark at the same time we hit the 100 episode mark. So please do me a favor and share this with as many as you can. Tell them to download the episodes. And together, we can hit 50,000 downloads at the same time we hit 100 episodes. Those will be two awesome milestones we'll cross at the same time. Next week, It will be our 100th episode. I want to share with you a devotion called The Third Army. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.